Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Praise God. And we're in these precious last words, and the last words of the Apostle Paul, the last encouragements that he's giving, praise the Lord, to the ones as Timothy. And we thank the Lord that this word is alive. It wasn't just for back then, it's to us. And I thank God by the Holy Ghost, it's living in us and it's alive. So praise be to God. But as we come to these, and I thank the Lord, especially in this last chapter, they're the last words of the last words. We're finding, especially in this last fourth chapter, I believe it's much like the those four living ones that were seen in Ezekiel chapter 1. It says they were like lightning. You know, they're here and there and boom, 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 boom. And I believe that the Spirit is moving through Paul like this, especially in this fourth chapter. And what I really mean by that is we started in the fourth chapter so sweetly, encouraging Timothy again. Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant. And how the Lord was encouraging that way. Then immediately we had another flash in verse 6, and it began Paul's triumph of victory. I have finished. Amen. Thanks be to God, and about the crown. And then immediately there was another flash in verse 9. Timothy, get to me. You know, only Luke is with me. I mean, amazing how that just changed. And tonight, praise God, it's another flash of lightning in verse 13. And I believe by the grace of God, I do pray by the Spirit's power, that we'll see. This is one of the most glorious verses in Scripture. Verse 13, Paul's saying here, Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, and I thank God, when thou comest, not if thou come, when thou comest. Isn't that something? See, and I love that. There's that confidence of the love of Christ, praise God, that drew Paul, that same confidence of the love of Christ and the power of God and him able to perform the good work which he'd begun in Timothy. Timothy's coming. When you come, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So let's read that again. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So I want us to think for a minute here, just a few things that had gone on regarding Paul's imprisonments. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome twice, two times. His first imprisonment, this was his second, we're reading right here. This is it, all right? But the first one was around 58 A.D., we don't know exactly, but we have an idea that it was around 58 A.D. This second one comes maybe somewhere between 6 to 9 years later, somewhere maybe 65 to 67 A.D., somewhere in there. His first imprisonment, there were many that remained faithful to that message. There were, that first one. Churches even cared for him. He wrote in that first imprisonment, Philippians, Colossians, those letters to those churches. Says of those churches that they even didn't have a whole lot, and yet they sold their belongings to assist the word, to assist his ministry, and even to assist Paul. But now we've come to these later years, and it wasn't a lot of years, was it? It's just a few. You know, when you're talking about 4 to 5 to 10 years, you know that's just a moment of time. But it's amazing how quickly things changed. All in Asia have forsaken me. We know how this all started out. Only Luke is with me. There weren't churches here anymore. There was just a handful of brethren. That was it. That's all that remained. I see so sweetly in the Word of God, that was the evidence of the early reign. We know that. That early rain came forth. It started at Pentecost. It poured out in fervor with Paul's gospel. When God chose Paul, that chosen vessel, to bring forth the mystery that had been hidden, and that pouring out that occurred, the desire, the churches that were established. But in such a short amount of time, here's only a handful that remains that wants that truth. I think of the time that we're at today. We had that pouring out, as we've talked about many times, and you can see it. And it's so sweet. The Lord's following that same pattern. That encouragement and that fervency of the Holy Spirit really began in the early 1900s. And that's the truth. You go back and you read. There wasn't much spoken of throughout history. Little bits here and there. Yes. It's going to be out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. But the Lord emphasized his early rain, R-A-I-N, that came down through the prophet, and that latter rain, R-A-I-N, that would come. And it started. And there was a fervency, and that fervency grew. And you think, especially in the United States, how Christianity grew. Christianity really took off. The people that were being saved. You think about the evangelism that was going on. You had Spurgeon, you had Moody, you had Billy Graham. Those stadiums that were full, and all of those different things. And people not ashamed to speak of the Word of God. Churches literally almost on every corner. Now I'm speaking of the bridal truth. How many ones would go to the Bible college? How many ones came through? All of the different churches that were in Oklahoma and Texas, they had four or five of them even in California, many of them in Missouri, Kansas, obviously here in Denver. They had them in different places. And here we are today. And as far as churches that, you know, have, there's three that are still, and we're one of the three. Thank you, Jesus. This is real. The Word of God is true. And there is an early and a latter rain. And there is a falling away that's occurring. And it's increasing at an increasing rate. When you start really fathoming that one in four people in this country believe that the Word of God truly is the divine Word of God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And I am telling you, I mean, and in Denver, I would be shocked if we're in the one in four category. I would have ventured to guess we're probably one in five or one in six, because we're so educated here. So beyond. So that's, thank you, Lord, we're almost home. Amen. Praise God. So it's not to fret. It's not to say, well, we got to just get going and get the revival going. Maybe they'll wake up and they'll realize, you know what? The revival is not for this time. It's not. There's a falling away, not an increasing, because the Word of God said it would be so. So we thank God where we're at. We thank God with what we have. So we see that Paul, in this time of the early rain, it's almost over. And Paul, praise God, at this time, he's just shut up to Christ. And we're going to go into some incredible depth of what happens when we're shut up to Christ. The cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, Timothy, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Now, many have commented on this, and they think of this, I really do believe, for the most part, and I'm talking about religious ones, you know, that's who's looking at this anyways, that this is some type of a trivial blurb in the Word of God. A trivial blurb. But I'll tell you what, when man says that about something in the Word of God, that's where you want to look. That's when you say, you know what, there's got to be something here. And there's something here. We have three items here that are spoken of, all right? And we see them. The cloak, the book, and especially the parchments. Now, these were left in Troas. Troas today is a little place of where it's in Turkey, all right? Troas, it means Trojans. That's what was there. That's where that area was, where the Trojans were at. Now, This is 600 miles away from Rome. Quite a distance. You know, they didn't have cars, bus service, or anything of that nature. High-speed trains, nope. This is a good walk with a camel or a donkey or something of that nature that's going to get across very tough terrain. So this is a journey to get these things back that are 600 miles away. Paul, it's believed, left them. And he left them with a faithful brother, this man named Carpus. Carpus, his name means fruit. So I think that that should jump at you, that the fruit has these items with him. All right? And we'll see how fitting all this is, that this is where the fruit is. It's believed that when Paul was arrested, when the Romans would arrest you, they would take those things from you. And they would basically take them, the soldiers, and just kind of keep them, pass them around, whatever it would be, and take them from you. Paul knew he was going to be arrested, and the Lord encouraged his heart, and he had given these to a faithful brother named Carpus to hold on to. Now, not only were these the most valuable things that Paul had, they're probably the only things that Paul had. If you really think about it, you know, this is it. And it's interesting, you know, I know people make a lot about this coat, and we can't necessarily be certain, but I like to be encouraged that when the Spirit puts something on my heart, I'm pretty certain about it, I will tell you. People are real certain this had to do with this winter time in Rome, and it had to be a thick coat and a big coat and all these different things about the coat. If it was about being cold, I believe that we could assume too, Paul would have said, I need a coat. Can somebody give me a coat? It would have been Timothy, you know, maybe you're closer, bring me the coat. Bring me a coat. Bring me your coat. You understand what I'm saying? Because in a way, a coat's a coat. I don't think Paul would be so drawn to just a coat. Paul wasn't about material things. Paul was not about material things. And I think that's very sweet here too. Paul didn't go hitting up other people for his needs. He always trusted God. And you think of the predicament he's in right here, and he's trusting God. And I think with that said, we can understand there's something that that coat has. And let's speak about that. It was common in this time that coats were also used as a bag. They were used as an instrument to carry things. So it wasn't just to be worn. They would actually tie up belongings in them, put them in there, and then carry them like a case. And the coat was perfect for it. And it's kind of interesting. Contrary to this being a heavy coat, Vines says that one of the definitions of this is a light mantle. That would be a coat coats back then, too, a lot of times, they didn't have sleeves. They cut them off. But it would be a mantle that would be sleeveless. And that mantle specifically is where books and parchments would be wrapped, and they would carry it, all right? So if you can kind of get that, maybe a picture of it, is that Paul put these and wrapped them in his coat or this mantle, and he put them in, tied them up, gave them to Carpus, and said, Carpus, keep them. So this is why he needed to reach out to Carpus specifically to get that coat that had the books and the parchment. All right? It's sweet how the Lord brings this together here. So now, since we have the background, let's let the Spirit take us into the gold mine that this is. Now, first off, we're told here that this cloak or coat is also known as a mantle. Well, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word mantle in the Word of God, my heart quickens. It really does. And the mantle that I love and I think about, first of all, and I think maybe you do too, not saying it is, there's a couple of them in the, few of them in the Word of God that are just incredible, but I think about the mantle that fell upon Elisha, amen? That when Elijah was taken up into heaven, and that mantle that fell upon him, and it wasn't just a mantle, it was a double portion of that mantle, praise God. So I thank the Lord that we can be encouraged that, first of all, in knowing what we know about mantles or coats, this is something that contained a double portion. This is something that contains something very beautifully special. And it's interesting, it had two items in it. If it was used to carry, it had the books and the parchments. So we have a double portion in there, amen? So you have that, and then that cloak is also known as a coat. And one of the things about the coat in the Old Testament, especially, the coat was spoken of, it always was worn by royalty. It was. I love how it says that Jonathan took off his coat and gave it to David because it was of royalty. And think of who Jonathan gave that to, the king. Amen. So that coat spoke of not only a double portion, that coat spoke of that it covered or it encased royalty. And you thank the Lord how he brings that out to us. So we have this beautiful picture. You think about how even the bride, she is clothed really with the mantle of Christ, the very righteousness of saints, which is the glory and the royalty of God. There's a beauty in that covering that's all glorious and marvelous. And we know who and what it is and who and what it's from. So we see we have much more in meaning than just a winter coat. This is something that contains a double portion and something that carries and encases and contains royalty. Now, what's inside? We first have the books and especially the parchments. Now, most will say, as you read these things, that Paul enjoyed reading, but not necessarily the Word of God. And it's interesting that people were going to say that he enjoyed reading, and maybe he did, but, you know, wasn't Paul the one that had to write with such big letters? I think he would maybe have a difficult time reading, but he sure wanted these books. But again, religious scholars say, no, the books were just readings that Paul liked to carry along and read. And I'm sure Paul, if he knew that these were his last days, you know, he just wanted a good book from a publisher. I mean, this is religious theory. This is why that's religious scary. And it's laughable, cryable to think, how could you even come up with something like that? But that's what man's mind would come up with. So that's what's said about that. Then it speaks of the parchments, that they're probably some scriptures and different things that are put together. Now, brothers and sisters, the word books means scrolls. I thank the Lord that we know about scrolls. God has been gracious to show us where the Dead Sea Scrolls, the different scrolls that they found. It's the Word of God, all right? These books, I have no doubt, were the Word of God. They were the Old Testament writings. They were on scrolls. That's what the cloak was carrying and encasing. It was encasing the Word of God. It was encasing the King of Kings, the royalty, amen? The Lord of Lords, the royalty of it all. There is no glory, there is no royalty without the King. There is no glory, there is no royalty without the Word of God. Amen. And that's the truth. So Paul would be reading nothing else, at least in Paul's testimony to us, except Scripture and studying and enjoying having the Holy Ghost reveal the Word to him. Amen. And that's exactly what that is. And I thank God for that. Now, so I believe that we can rest in and believe that those books, without a doubt, are the Word of God. So now we move to next, the parchments. And this is, I'll tell you, where it gets even sweeter. The word parchments is only found one time in the New Testament. Oftentimes when that's done, we should pay great attention to it. Now, these parchments were very rare. And the parchments were skins of lambs and goats that were treated and dried, and they would have a stone that would stretch them out and get everything smooth. And those parchments were to be written upon. So the parchment, when it would talk about parchments, it was basically differing from a book, because a book had already been written. The scrolls already have writing on them. Parchments, if you will, were paper that was ready to be written upon. All right? So there was books, and then there were writing paper. or riding skins, technically, and riding lambskins, to be specifically. All right? So, what we have, which is so sweet, I fully believe these lambskins, Paul would write the word of God, the very letters to Timothy and to whatever church he might have been writing to at that time, which most likely would have been Ephesus. Pretty exciting, amen? So these were the things that he was asking for at this time. Now, one would ask and say, well, wait a second. Why does it emphasize, bring me especially the parchments, if these are blank, basically sheets of paper or blank skins? Why would it say, especially bring me the parchments, or above all? Because that's what especially means. Above all, bring me the parchments. Because you got to remember, this is the Apostle Paul we're speaking of. And remember who the Apostle Paul is, especially at this time, to the Lord. He's the chosen vessel unto the Lord that the Lord is using to write the high calling message, the mystery that was hidden, that completes the word of God. Do you think that man needs some paper? Bring that man paper. You know, that's the whole thing. And I thank God. But nobody was saying that, were they? Except Paul. Paul knew who he was. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know by the grace of God, that same message, praise the Lord, that was given to him, that same value that he ended his life to be for the Lord, is the same value by the grace of God and the same crown that we are to wear? The same ruling and reigning, the same glorified together with him? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul had to receive it the same way we received it, by faith. He still had to believe it. And praise be to God, he was tried in it, wasn't he? And praise be to God, the Holy Ghost wrote it through him. But that does not mean that that word, that effectual working of the word, worked any more powerfully in Paul than it will in you. Do you understand that? Praise be to God. We can and we should all be partakers in that body known as the bride of Christ with the Apostle Paul. So, above all, bring me the parchments. The Lord has for me to write for you. He revealed to me to give to you. How many times does Paul say that in his epistles? Amen. Well, this is it. This is the actual substance of, if you will say, the manual transcription of how it happened. Bring me the parchments. And isn't that wonderful? The Lord didn't just write them through a stone and give them to Paul like he did to Moses. He wrote them into Paul. He wrote him into him. And the only place he could write him into him was in a place where he was completely, utterly low. And I'm going to tell you something. Oftentimes, that's where it's really going to be written into us. Amen. Amazing. You know, we can get these visions that it was on a mountaintop and he was singing at the top of his lungs. He got the gold mine, and you know where. Now, Paul is in this prison, and by the grace of God, Paul will write, and did write, the mystery of God. The mystery of Christ in the church. The mystery of the bridal message. Isn't that something? He wrote that, right there. All in this time. All in this precious verse of how this is going to transpire. The Spirit in Paul to fulfill the word of God. And that's why overall, bring me the parchments. Bring me that pen and paper. I got something to write. Isn't that sweet? It's not a blurb out of nowhere. It's power from the only somewhere. Now, may we really receive this tonight. And I want you to receive it in this. Paul says, above all, bring what I'm going to write. Think of that again. Above all, bring unto me what I'm going to write. My epistles, Paul's gospel. Brother Hill used to emphasize this over and over, didn't he? Over and over and over. Know Paul's epistles. People want to read all over. You'll never understand the Word of God until you understand Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is written in Paul's epistles. It's the truth. I thank the Lord how many times I would be around Brother Hill, and I wasn't around him all the time. Wasn't around him often a lot of times. A lot of people were around him a lot more than I was. But how striking it was, the times and the things that happened when I was around him, that God graced me to hear and to observe. But how many times I heard somebody come to him about, where should I start in the Word of God? Without exception, Romans. Get into Romans. Romans will set you up for the rest of the Word of God. It'll set you on a course of faith. You'll understand that you're justified by faith. And everything's by faith. But then it wasn't go to Romans, then go to the rest of the Word of God. It was go through Romans and now go through the rest of Paul's epistles. How could you ever understand Revelation without understanding Paul's epistles? How could you ever understand the Song of Solomon? How could you ever understand Genesis 24? How could you ever understand Proverbs 31? I'll just make it easy for you. How could you understand any of the Word of God without Paul's gospel? And I thank the Lord, especially for those that came into this precious truth later in life. I have to tell you, I thank the Lord. I've known nothing but that. But how sweet it is, people that were in Christianity and were saved, but never received this gospel. And especially people that were saved that weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. And that absolute transition, that absolute power of transformation, that once the Holy Ghost came, it was like the Word popped into, you know, living color. Oh my gosh, it's more than 5D. It's beyond. But then as that was given, and then given with that Paul's gospel, how everything came together. And the beauty of that transformation. All because of the Word of God, faith in the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Ghost shedding love abroad for the most holy faith as you looked into the Word of God. Amen. So, Brother Hill would say that. You stay in those epistles. You venture into the rest of the Word of God after you really understand that. It opens up all the Word of God. But he'd always go back and he'd say, but if you're going to spend time in the Word of God, you spend it in them epistles. Over and over and over. And if you go back and you listen or see where the Lord had him to preach, it was 10 to 1 to anything else in the Word of God was the book of Ephesians. How many times a Bible study in that high watermark? Praise be to God. And I thank the Lord. You ever wonder why we had such a head start? And it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but we had such a head start in the love of Christ above all. It's because we had a pastor that emphasized one thing, and that was Paul's epistles, which is Paul's gospel. And that's the truth. And I thank the Lord, we're not veering from it. This is by the grace of God, thank you, Lord, where we rest and settle. And no matter where we study in the Word of God, we're always bouncing back to Paul's epistles to understand where we're at in the Word of God. Amen? Whether, you know, it was the study of about Moses and when he wanted to see the glory of God, or the beauty in the study of the tabernacle of David, thinking about that, the study of the bridal types in Jonathan, the bridal types in Joseph, all of those different things. When we go into Revelation, my goodness, we spend more time in Paul's epistles. And that's the truth. Because you'll never understand them, you'll never see them. And without it, you'll just be off in some man's fantasy of what you think it might mean. As opposed to rest in the knowledge of God, amen, in that we know. There's not a doubt. You just know. Because God said, he that wills to know will know that will, and will know the gospel. That's his promise. Now, one last layer as we close this up. It says the books, which we see here is the word of God. We see it as the royalty of the king. Amen. Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. And then the parchments, I love this. It can also be seen in a double portion of that royalty. Remember, it had two things in there, that mantle, that double portion. And I see that double portion of royalty as the bride. Because remember, the parchments is made of lambskins. And thanks be to God, we are sheep. Yes, we are. And this parchment is a feminine word. In this parchment, to make them, it took a lot of time. Parchments were very rare. Parchments were very, very valuable. They were dried with lime. They were stretched over and over and over again. And then at the end, they would be rubbed back and forth and back and forth with a special smooth stone, a rock. A rock. Now, thank you, Lord. You think also about the wineskin, how the wineskin needs to stretch, to grow, praise the Lord, to be stretched and pressed out a measure. I believe that's one of the attributes and characteristics of those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. I see some real stretching going on here. I'm glad it's not stretching the truth, but there's some stretching going on here, praise God. And oftentimes, those growth spurts, they hurt. Even ask those kids that go through them. Their bones hurt and different things. When God increases in you, it's going to hurt. But how sweet that is. The new man is ever expanding, amen? Neutral you cannot be. Growing up in Christ is a continual thing. Perfection, fully finished and furnished by the grace of God. There's patience required, isn't there, in that? It takes a long time. You talk about rare and valuable, the one that will grow up into him in all things. That's called a goodly pearl. She's the choice one of her mama. She's the one the daughter's done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. She's it. She's a one of a kind. And he sold all that he had for her because she was worth it to him, and that's all that mattered. But then finally you think about that rock that goes back and forth, that smooth requirement, the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Takes time. Because when you're writing, to have that written out, you ever had a page that had a little small fold in it, you know, as you were writing, and then it bumped over, and kind of messed your writing up? Well, let me tell you something. She's smooth because she's been rubbed. over and over and over and over. Amen. Just like that pearl, I understand there's a lot of irritation that goes on to make it. But they come out smooth. You know? How valuable that is to God. And you think about this too. We came to him, didn't we? Just blank. That precious blood washed us. Blank. Thank the Lord. And ready for what? Ready for writing. He's the author and finisher of our faith, isn't he, Sam? And praise be to God. He sure does have a lot to write. He wants to write it all. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that he really wants to write. And that's the authoring and finishing of faith in Paul's gospel. That's why it's so important to understand that this is the writing. We understand that it was Paul's hand that wrote it. Possibly Luke, I don't know. But a man's hand, let's say. But we know it was written by the Holy Ghost. You see, it was the Holy Ghost who wrote that. And so what I'm getting at here is this writing that has to come upon our lives is that gospel. It's not something that's here. It's not something that I can just speak here. It has to be something that's written here. He's written it in me. It's engraved, praise God, isn't it? Hallelujah. And it's so sweet because it speaks of a precious new name that's written on her. And I'll tell you where that new name comes from is from that hand of Paul. Paul writes that on you. He really does. That gospel that was given to Paul writes that upon us. And that new name is Bridegroom. No other writing, no other writer will write that across. It has to be that. So praise God. This is a wondrous truth, isn't it? And praise the Lord, it's where the fruit is. The fruit has this. That carpus, he's got it. You got that, you got fruit. Amen? The royalty, the double portion. The king and the queen bound together in the mantle. Praise God. I'm glad it wasn't just a blurb. Aren't you? Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.